Good morning.
Good morning.
It doesn't feel like Easter, does it? Because it's not Easter. Well, in a way it is, because every Sunday's a little Easter, isn't it? Jesus is always risen from the dead, not just on Sundays when we come here. He's always risen. Does it feel like Pentecost to you?
Yes.
Well, what does that feel like? It's really a significant feast of the church. It's a solemnity. It really ranks right up there with Christmas and Easter. And yet somehow we know it's important, but it just doesn't seem to have the same feel. Now, I've said this before, and I think a lot of people just ignore it because they don't think I'll ever do it. Probably never will. But in fact, you know, in the last, since the new missal, which is 7 or 8 years now, probably 10, like Holy Saturday, Pentecost has 9 readings. Go ahead, dare me. We could use all of them. Pentecost has a vigil mass just like Holy Saturday, and there's the option of 8 or 9 readings. I chose the reading. I love the reading of Dry Bones. Do you like that reading?
Yes.
Do you ever feel like that sometimes?
Yes.
That's why I choose it. It's a very real reading. Now, this reading that I just read from John's Gospel, there's 4 different options for a Gospel today, but I think this reading is so powerful, I use it every time I have the opportunity. How do I help you and myself really recognize and realize the light and the love of the Holy Spirit? We know, we were taught the Holy Spirit is mystery. Rarely seen visibly, and even less rarely, or more rarely, heard audibly. Although there are people, and I know there's people here, I'm not going to point anybody out, don't dare me, I will point people out that hear the Spirit. They know the Spirit. And yet we're told, well, it's a mystery. Well, it is. Mysteries are not problems to solve. They're mysteries to be pondered. I like to use images because otherwise, you know, it's just a bunch of words. But how do you think you'd feel? Now, y'all say, you all have the Holy Spirit. I know you do because you're all baptized. I don't think there's anybody not baptized here. But if you're not baptized, is that baby baptized yet? No. How old is the baby?
6 months.
How old is that? A 5-year-old next to you? Oh, pretty good guess, and I can't even see that far. But you have a new spirit in you, right? Since that child was born, and both of them, right? Am I right? Now I'm gonna point them out, and they're looking at me right now. Colin and Juliana, they're sitting back there. He's got a big old grin on his face. A week from today, they're gonna be Mr. and Mrs. No, if I said, are you feeling the Holy Spirit? They kind of go, oh, yeah, I guess. But I know they are by the look on their faces. And they're going to get the Holy Spirit in a new way by the experience of publicly, I don't know, the wedding might even be this big. 200, did you say? Yeah, well, maybe more than that who are here now. Want to come? But they're going to feel the Holy Spirit in a new way. Now, they don't know that yet, and it might take a couple of months for them to realize it. Then certainly in 6 months, they're going to know they need the Holy Spirit in a new way. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of images for the grace and the Holy Spirit. Now, we've all seen, you know, those at Christmas time, we see those blow-up Santa Claus guys, and Easter, maybe an Easter bunny, or Halloween, we see all kinds of things blown up, and those Gumby things outside businesses, and, you know, they got the air blowing in them, but kind of going like this. You know what happens when they turn the air off? They deflate. And that would be you and I if the Holy Spirit left us. And I kid you not. We rarely, I don't say that too hardly, too deeply. I don't think we perceive or experience the Holy Spirit often enough. But if the Spirit left us, left you, you'd know it like that. And isn't that a good thing? Now, I was getting off track here, but you know that reading from Dry Bones. And that's, you know, the proverbial, I have to use the example. Now, it's not been the last couple years because the Lions have really been pretty good the last couple years. But how about the 30 previous years? Didn't that feel like dry bones? You think they're going to win, they think they're going to win, and they throw up an interception. You think they're going to win, you think they're going to win, and they go out of bounds. You think they're going to win, this is going to be the day, and they fumble. We all have times of depression and sadness and loss, and we haven't got to that part yet. But there's all kinds of really living examples of how we can know and feel in a lively way the life and the love of the Holy Spirit. You well know, I mean, these are not unfamiliar themes to you, but I mean, I've given a Pentecost theme for 40 times now, 42 times. Want me to do all of them today? Never mind, because you know I can't. But today, a little more experiential, I hope. You know love gives you life, right? Love gives life. And love is the source and origin of all life. Love heals and forgives and transforms even death into new life. Is it just me, or did it seem a week ago that spring was never going to come? Now all of a sudden we're complaining how hot it is. We're funny that way, you know? But new life is a new beginning, not only in things like spring, but isn't there new life after an offer of forgiveness that's accepted? And there's a new relationship? Isn't there new life after a recovery from a critical illness? And I know many of you have had that. I've had that. There's new life. You realize, oh my God, I am going to get better. There's restored hope after periods of sadness or darkness, even depression. There's new relationships after painful losses, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the wounding and breaking of a relationship, and even there's new life after death in the body. We believe, and if I ask you, you'd give me the right answer. Do you believe life after death? Yes, Father. There's new life after death. Now, we have all these images, but today I want to try to make that a little more name and face for you. The Holy Spirit, as I've said many times, is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the source of all love. And yet too often, very unconsciously, it seems that we tend to limit the love of the Holy Spirit to religion and the spiritual life. That's too small. That would be a mistake to only think, well, the Holy Spirit is really alive here. It is. But we come to be strengthened in the life of the Spirit, to have images and words and sacrament to nourish and feed us in the life of the Spirit so we can take the life of the Spirit into the world. Any relational and life-giving love always has its origin in the Holy Spirit. Now, I appreciate and understand that the Holy Spirit is the least understood of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And perceptively, that feels true, but it doesn't have to be that way. Oh, quite by accident, I came across what are really known as the three pillars upon which religion and the spiritual life is built. Obviously, Scripture, capital S, tradition, capital T, the various traditions of the church that are central to the Catholic faith, and then experience, Scripture, tradition, and experience. And today it impresses me that it's really most important, perhaps in the reality of the Holy Spirit, to look at our experience of love. Our experience of God in the Spirit, whether you hear the Spirit, whether you have a particular gift for discernment or that, we all have experiences of love. It's the most effective way, it seems to me, to realize the grace and the light of the life of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a mystery. There's no denying that. But it's also true that the Holy Spirit is always present. You know, the Holy Spirit was present all those years. The Lions couldn't win a football game. Maybe the Spirit was a Packers fan on that day. I don't know. But they weren't without Spirit. So look at it this way, and I'll ask you really, don't answer out loud. These are reflective questions. I want you to reflect on this. 3 or 5 or maybe 6 seconds apiece. I know that'll seem like, Father, gosh, this is so long today. Just for a few seconds. First of all, let me begin by reminding you, as a person of faith baptized, you are redeemed in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And by every measure of our faith, you're going to heaven. Right? You are. Not by your doing, but by God's doing. So please think. No, don't think. Feel. Can you feel, if in only 5 seconds or so, I can't take too long, I know. Don't speak out loud. Feel, pay attention to the love you believe God has for you. Did you get it? Feel your self-love. The love you have for yourself. That might be harder. Feel the love you know others have for you. The people you know love you. Consider the bonds of love you have for others. Reflect on the love that you share with others in any myriad of ways that gives you life, that animates and motivates your day, that inspires your generosity, your goodness, your surety, your hope, and your peace. All of these are works of the Holy Spirit. You could, I hope, remind yourself of a time when you were forgiven or you forgave another and peace was restored. Holy Spirit. I hope you can remember a time when you went to confession, unburdened yourself, and found a renewal of mind and heart. Holy Spirit. Think of those times when you were feeling down, overworked, unappreciated, maybe even depressed. Maybe a time when you were insensitively harmed by another. Maybe a time of crisis or loss or loneliness. Is it 5 or 7 years now when we had that flood and everybody's basement stuff was on the front lawns? We survived. We made it. Holy Spirit. During these kinds of times, don't you pray, asking for the Lord's presence, a renewal and a restoration of peace and resolution to problems? Holy Spirit. I'm sure most of us, all of us probably, can remember times of illness, your own or another, a loved one for whom you prayed and health was restored. Holy Spirit. Consider your daily prayer and your desire to praise and petition, to honor and to love God in and through Christ. Whether or not you felt it, some warm, fuzzy feeling or not, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit is like the air you breathe, ever present, rarely seen or heard. But if the Spirit wasn't there, you wouldn't know any of that experience. Now, does the Spirit seem real? I can't resist it's a vision that Ezekiel has, the vision of the dry bones. It was a very felt and lived experience of Ezekiel. The story has its own context, but I use it today because the image is universal and timeless. All of us at times feel dry or hopeless, feeling to be without resource or any resolution to our problems. But consider the time of Ezekiel, who was himself personally carried off into exile with the other people of Israel to Babylon. And as the reading conveys the context, they were hopeless, desperate, lifeless, and in despair. But Ezekiel was a godly man. He was a prophet and a priest of the temple. And he kept his eyes fixed on God. You see, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was known simply as the Spirit of God. And Ezekiel was experiencing the same hopeless, dry feeling. And yet he knew somehow God was present and would be present. So God obeyed. Ezekiel responded to what God called of him. We can't miss the effectiveness of the imagery clearly in what's going on in the world today. What's God doing in the world today in our country? We can get so caught up politically on one side or the other side or no side or whatever. Things going on in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Gaza, the Palestinians, the starvation in the Sudan, the civil war in Syria and other places. What's God doing? God's doing something there. God is. And similarly in those places, not unlike the time of Ezekiel, it's going to take a divine action to restore and give new life to those circumstances and those people who feel dejected and abandoned by God, I suspect. God, the Spirit doesn't come out just when things are all happy and in right order. The Spirit is always and ever present. And I know there's times you felt that way, whether it was a loss or a crisis or just waning hope. It's like, my God, I can't take any more news. You know what I mean? You call on the Holy Spirit. You remember who you are in Christ and that you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. And it is in the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Challenges us not only to look within ourselves to see and to feel and to know Christ, but at the same time to look beyond ourselves and realize persons, well, the worse more off than ourselves. Again, Syria, Israel, Palestine, you know, the encampments where there's no food or water and people are just left in despair, you see. How is God present there? And I trust God is. As a person in the Spirit, how can you and I, how can our prayer have an effect on that? Kind of reflects a little bit the second reading. All creation groans. It sounds like what it is. Our souls sometimes groan. I'm reading a book now, The Tears of Things. It's about the prophets from the Old Testament into the New, and I'm having new insight about prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, how critically important they were moving along the actions of God in the world. When Jeremiah says, the Lord says to Jeremiah, I will take away your stony hearts and I will give you hearts of flesh. That's a profound transformation from the hardness of the law, because their hearts weren't in, well, we're going to do the right thing so we stay out of, you know, we stay on God's good side. It's like they weren't, it wasn't working. So God put fleshy hearts in them so that they knew in their hearts, in their conscience, in the development, in the reality of a consciousness of a soul, the inner sanctuary of God living and dwelling in them. And even more now, after all these centuries, in ourselves, the development of human consciousness and the essential reality of love in the human person, all persons. So we look at the gospel, ever familiar. We hear it 2 or 3 times a year. Can you place yourself in that upper room, feeling on the one hand the tension in that room, dark and murky, maybe smoky, musty air. They didn't have electricity or air conditioning. They probably had oil lamps. And this tension is going on. And then immediately, the rejoiceful relief that they see Jesus. That's a lived and felt experience. Consider how they were transformed in the words and actions of Jesus, literally transformed. Don't you wish we could be transformed that quickly? It didn't happen in a snap of a finger. But the fear lifted, the depression lifted, the grief lifted, and they were reanimated in themselves by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Notice the words, "Peace be with you." He doesn't mean peace in the world. He means his own peace, the peace of Christ, my peace, the peace I have as the Christ, that peace be with you. And then that primordial movement, even from the story of Adam and Eve, he breathed on them the breath, the life of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and they became a living being. Living means they became spiritual beings. You're a spiritual being. God breathes in and out of you. You have that same power, the same spirit that those early believers had. And it's the spirit of freedom and truth and love, despite all the chaos and uncertainty and craziness and evil that's going on in the world, all the more that we should have the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is so essential to the reality of the Christian life. Please, after today's reflection and reception of the sacrament, try to put a name, try to put a face on your experience of the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, you have the power, if you let God do it, the Holy Spirit has the power to transform you. And in that transformation and in the Spirit, you have the power to help transform others by the way you give witness to the love you've experienced in God. Jesus was very clear. Receive the Holy Spirit, the sins you forgive are forgiven. The sins you hold fast will be held fast. You have that power. But in the Spirit, we have the freedom and the truth of love to let go of things of the past so we can find Christ in the present. Praise be God for the gift of Jesus. We conclude the Easter season today. The candle will be put in a less prominent place, because now the light of Christ is burning in you and in me. The world needs your light. Be a person in the Spirit. Love the people. I was going to say, love the people that love you. Love the people that don't love you. Sorry, that's kind of how it goes, right? I think somebody like Jesus said that. Pray for those you don't like. Pray for those you don't know that are half the world on the other side of the world. It's the same Spirit, it's the same God, and it's the same redemption. Don't be unanimated. Don't be a limp Santa because they turned the air off. Be inspired and full-bodied in the light of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your dying and your rising.